I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to our C3 Church Global Podcast. So good to have you on board with us and listening. Thank you for listening. Always feel it's a privilege, honor to be in people's homes and cars or in your ears at the gym or wherever we're visiting you today. But our hope and prayer is that all of these podcasts are going to help you in church life, in leadership, and in growth and expansion of Jesus' purpose for every one of us. So we're talking worship. This is the second in a little mini series of two podcasts we're doing on worship. And we've selected some of our worship leaders who are leading very significant churches from around the world. And in this session, we have Jess Henderson all the way from London, although she didn't start there. She actually started in C3SYD. Great to have you here, Jess.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
And we have Liz Hewitt, who is the worship director at C3 Ride, which is planting churches all over the world as C3 Reach congregations. And Joel Phillips is the creative director there. And working alongside of him is Liz, who leads worship. Great to have you with us, Liz.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Great to be here today.
And your pastor and wife, Richard and Kathy Green, are very famous for their church planning exercises all around the world, which is awesome. And we also have Didi from Indonesia, from our C3 church in Jakarta, called The Collective. Great to have you here, Didi.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me, Pastor Phil. It's good to be here.
And I was with Didi it feels like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true.
In Jakarta, and we held the Indonesian C3 conference there.
That's right.
And Didi was leading all the worship. And what's your journey into becoming a worship leader?
Wow, that's quite interesting. So I started as a musician, of course. I started as a musician. But then things happened. I think back then, in 2005, I went into a period of burnout. And obviously, there were different kind of things happening in my personal life, immaturity and stuff like that. And I was so tired of church and being Christian. And I just kind of shut everything down from all the Christian scene and everything. But then 2008, someone of the parents of my piano students actually invited me to, hey, Didi, why don't you come to our church? Our church is opening a new location. That will become TC one time. So I joined TC, and then long story short, I was healed, and I can experience the presence of God again, the passions towards God come back again. So God healed me a lot. But then I was happy because I'm doing nothing. But then in 2009, the pastors at the time pulled me aside and said, hey, Didi, someone recommended me really strongly that he said that you are a great worship leader. Will you consider leading worship in our church? And I was like, okay, this must be God, because I haven't told anyone about this in this church. So I think ever since then, the journey of me leading worship has been like growing, and I'm grateful that I have a loving community. I think to be in a church community where your pastor really care about you and your personal spiritual journey is really important, and I'm really grateful. I think I can say I cannot take any credit of me being able to be a leader. It's because of I think the leadership in my community, I think.
It's Pastor Alex and Janae.
Yes, and I think Pastor Alex and Janae were not in the picture until 2011. But
all right.
Yeah, and then they were assigned to be the lead pastor in 2020. But again, I'm really grateful because this couple is really, really, I think, really, really courageous, and they're really, really having a lot of faith. And I'm grateful that they have vision over our community. And I think it's like a lot of courage and a lot of love for the team.
It's awesome.
I feel like I've been the family, right? And,
yeah, you are. Yeah. You're part of the family now.
Yes.
Part of the C3 crew all around the world. And it's a joy to have you here with us, Diddy, Sharon, about worship leading. Jess, tell us about your journey into becoming a worship leader.
Yeah, well, as you know, Pastor Phil, I kind of grew up in C3, and my dad was also involved in the worship team growing up. So I kind of, from a young age, really saw that. But I joined our youth worship team when I was about 16, and I kind of just wanted to get involved in something. You know, I kind of didn't really know what I was getting myself into. It was kind of just like there was a Saturday night youth and my friends were involved. I've been involved ever since. A lot of that was under Daniel Karotz, who's the worship director in C3 SYD still. Learned a lot from him, and then, moved to London in 2015. And then took over running the worship team here end of 2019. But I guess for me it was, I grew up like joining because I wanted to be involved in something, and then kind of discovering like that heart for seeking God and leading people into the same place.
Right. So, I mean, your background is pretty darn musical as well, isn't it? I mean, Jeff Crabtree, the doctor of the blues.
Uh-huh. yeah. Yes.
And such a talented player, and I loved every minute of having Jeff on our staff leading our creative arts school. It was such a joy to work with him. He was eccentric a little bit, not too bad. I'm not sure if he ever wore shoes. To lectures I love that quirkiness. I think the kingdom's too boring often, and we need more colorful characters. So certainly he was a colorful character. And the other colorful character I'm thinking of is your father-in-law, Steve Henderson.
Because
you married into the Henderson clan.
Yeah.
And Steve can play just about any instrument you hand him. He must have like 50 guitars in his garage.
This is true.
I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And always loved Steve around because he was such a willing, servant-hearted musician, always helping us in the band. Mm. So it wasn't, although it could have been a surprise to see you emerge in this arena, it's kind of not, right? Here you are writing songs, and you've got a beautiful voice. I mean, it was, I got to say this right, I was pleasantly surprised, I guess, when the first time I heard you sing, I thought, no, she's got a voice, this girl. And that was just wonderful. And then to combine that with leadership and songwriting, it's really been a wonderful road for you, right?
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Phil. I feel like I'm just a bit like, oh. Went to college as well, which really helped kind of train all those things. Yeah, but I guess I was around a lot of music and around a lot of worship growing up.
Yeah.
On the floor of the auditorium underneath the chairs when I was little.
Yes.
You know, it's got to have done something, I think.
It got in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Liz. Yes. We haven't, grown up in the same church, so tell us your journey into becoming a worship leader.
Yes, so I was kind of thrown in a bit of deep end therapy from about the age of 16 because I grew up in a little coastal church at this in the southwest of Western Australia called Mandurah, and it's a Church of Christ, and it was a small church, so I kind of was given some amazing opportunities from a really young age. And I grew up in a musical family, and I just always loved singing to the Lord and loved people. And I think the combination of those two things has just basically grown my whole life. It's something that I've just always loved to do. I've loved singing to the Lord and I've loved people. So fast forward, you know, however many years, 20 years, and moved here and have found this beautiful church in Ryde and get to lead this amazing group of people who I just love.
That's awesome. So let's talk about leading the team, because sometimes I've found that just because a person is pretty good at singing and anointed for leading worship, that doesn't automatically mean that they should lead the worship team, because the burden and responsibility of leadership can sometimes crush that gift in them, so that they're very unhappy in trying to have difficult conversations with people, leading people into systems and strategies and getting them all in order. They'd rather not have that, but be free with their gift. And yet somebody else who may not be as talented can sometimes, actually be a better leader. And obviously that's not the case with any of you. You're brilliant at worship leading and at leadership. But I want to know how, Liz, you've led the team there in Ryde. What do you think are the main elements of creating a successful worship team?
Wow, that's a great question. And obviously I've filled some very big shoes. Like, Joel Phillips is an amazing leader and an amazing pastor and worship leader. But I think one of the biggest things has been just willing to be challenged in leadership, willing to have the hard conversations with people, and knowing that that comes from a place of love for them and wanting to see them like in their sweet spot doing what God has called them to do. So whether someone's incredibly gifted, but maybe they're actually really suited in a different place, I think a key thing is really being willing to grow and being willing to let like what we do look different. It doesn't always look the way we expect it's going to look. And I think we need to be flexible, and I think we need to hold things very loosely, and we need to just remember that Jesus loves the people. And so that's kind of like the place that I've come from as well. Like, how can I help a person right. in this? Yeah.
So let me ask you, Didi, with you running your teams, how often would you rehearse?
So the rehearsal is weekly for every assigned team. So our rehearsal is Saturday morning, 10 a.m. for the morning services and in the main campus. But for the other campus, we have this like rehearsal right there on Sunday earlier, like 3 hours earlier before the first service starts. So that's how we do it.
Wow.
Yeah. And in terms of song selection, do you just play ones that you've written locally, or you bring in other current trending songs?
Yeah, the heart of our ministry is we want to support the message of the church. So we have the sermon calendar throughout the year. It can be adjusted while we're at it, but it gave us idea of a sermon and the theme, the message that has been talked about. So we always choose songs based on that sermon, and also to support anyone who's sharing, anyone who's preaching. And based on the theme of that, we pick songs that are really, really supporting the message. So right. That's how we do it. So we want to make sure that all the experience are setting people to that awareness of any message that we want to bring to the church.
That's such an important message for every worship leader to understand, that we're working together with the senior minister mm-hmm. to help yeah. the vision that's being projected fulfilled. And so everything that we're bringing should be adding to, not subtracting from.
Yeah.
Jess, how do you run your team?
Well, we're kind of growing the team at the moment, which is exciting. We've got, in comparison to a lot of churches, we've got a small Sunday team, usually just a couple of acoustics and a keyboard player, a couple of vocalists. So we're kind of building up our team at the moment. And up until recently, we've kind of been in a venue that we don't have access to during the week. I'm sure a lot of churches can relate to that. A lot of churches around Europe, I know, are kind of in that sort of position of kind of building and growing their teams. So we kind of have a culture that we show up on a Sunday kind of prepared and really knowing what we're doing, because we haven't been able to rehearse together during the week. So that's kind of a culture that we set, a culture of, you know, being prepared and being excellent at what we do. It's kind of, yeah, an expectation that we have. And then on a Sunday, like you were saying, Didi, we come together before, a couple of hours before the service, and kind of really nut out how we're going to play together. But, yeah, I guess my heart is as for our church is building a team that serves our community, that's fun to be a part of.
Mm.
Like, I want people to want to be a part of the team, and we're all volunteers. So, and we're living in a very busy city where people don't are kind of time poor. You know, London's a lot going on. So I want to build a place where, yeah, people want to be a part of it. It's fun.
It's awesome.
And, yeah.
I think we should never underestimate the power of praise and worship in church life.
Mm.
And because of that, I think worship leaders are a target that the devil really tries to take out, because they're leading the entire congregation into heaven every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The church is called the Gate of Heaven, and we travel through that gate into heavenly spheres and a heavenly consciousness, an awareness of God, a heightening of our spirit generally in worship. And so if somebody's anointed to take people there, the devil certainly doesn't want that to happen. So I think we got to look after these teams, you know, in terms of their spiritual health as well. And unfortunately, I've been a pastor for 50 years. Unfortunately, I've found that in the worship team, often they themselves underestimate their significance in what they are bringing into the entire experience of church life. And so I've definitely wanted to give my personal attention as the pastor to the worship team more than any other team, other than the pastoral team and the board. But, you know, in terms of teams, I wouldn't go much to the youth leaders' teams or the children's workers' teams. We would every now and then. But that worship team, I wanted to invest in them and build them up and strengthen them because of the vitality that they can bring into a congregation. So, Didi, how do you find it there in Indonesia with warfare and handling the team and keeping them on their feet? In May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the outpouring, our C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register. Didi, how do you find it there in Indonesia with warfare and handling the team and keeping them on their feet?
Yeah, I think the way we do it, I think to make sure that we have that spiritual health is by making sure our team members are in CGs, we are making sure that people are connected in the Connect group. I think it's healthy for their spiritual journey. And we've been creating this culture where we are serving as a family. And like if there's a family in the house, and then if there are guests coming, so the one who are serving are the family members. So that's the thing that we are really, really believe in and really, really strong upon that. So the language that has been going on, that first and foremost, you are a family member before you are a servant, and want to make sure that you're being taken care for, you're being pastorally taken care for, and we want to make sure that you have someone that journey along with you. And I think that humbles the whole team. And we've been creating this atmosphere where everybody's are really, really joyful every time we come together. And there's no such thing as, church big personalities in our team are like, and even in our church community, there are no like favorite worship leader. And because of the diversity that we have, and also there are no such thing as ego and everything like that. If we see something happen, like the ego starts to creep in, then culturally we just make it like, hey, you know, we're just family. And if someone makes mistake, hey, it's okay. Mistakes can happen, but let's learn together. And I think to be aware of that, it really, really give us such a great culture of humility. And it kind of protects us from the attack from the enemy. I think as I'm aware, the greatest attacks are two. Number one is pride. I think a lot of musicians, worship leaders are being attacked on that area, the area of pride. And I think the antidote is humility, and to bring them along. Like, hey, everybody are family members here, and everybody are. Like, we've been loved by our God, you know, we've been saved and loved and forgiven. So who are we? I mean, and the culture to be able to understand that we are serving. This is a great privilege that we have from our Savior. So that kind of humility. And the second one is unity, I think, because we have this unity, I think. And no one is more important than the rest. And I think that's what keep us safe from the attack from the devil. But we need to be aware and still keep
watching. It's so important. I mean, we could be singing a great song and getting it in tune, and yet if our spirit or attitude is sour, it's going to kill that worship. And and the people in the congregation, they can read it. They're not dumb. They can feel it. And so keeping people in the right spirit, in the right attitude, humility, purity, and not letting them come into worship angry or agitated, or letting that come through their voice and whatever. I find those sorts of things are almost more important than the content of the songs.
Yeah.
But
obviously
it all is very important.
Yes.
And I think that keeping a team in that place, It's kind of challenging. Liz, any thoughts on keeping your team humble?
Well, worship is like bowing low, right, before Jesus. It's putting him before yourself. And so that's something we always do together. We always, we meet twice a month. And the first one of every month is worship and prayer. We focus on three things: spiritual, relational, and musical unity. Those three unities always have a focus at each night. And spiritual and relational are honestly the most important of the two, because of our hearts. And we just want to make sure we have a right heart when we come together.
Right. That's great. That's great pastoral leadership for teams that aren't always the easiest to lead, you know, and especially today, like Didi said, fame is a very seductive mistress and tries to draw a lot of people away. Once they realize they're talented and people are applauding them, it can really draw them out into thinking, well, I don't need to stay in church. I can do this in the world and get a lot of accolades and a lot of money probably. And So we don't want to, we want to keep people in that discipleship position. It's so important to be a follower of Christ at the basis of whatever we're doing, whether we're going to be a pastor, teacher, prophet, worship leader. It's super important. So as I understand it, Jess, you've been involved in production of 20 plus albums and involved in writing, I don't know, how many songs? Would you know?
No, I have no idea.
A few.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. And I know you were involved in a lot of our albums in our church where we were producing one album a year. And now you're involved there. Tell us about some of your projects there.
In London at the moment, we're kind of starting from scratch, really. We're building a culture around songwriting that doesn't really exist, which is kind of exciting because it's something I'm hugely passionate about, something that I partially do for a living. So it starts with me, really. It starts with me kind of inspiring and kind of pulling in, identifying those people who might have, you know, that gift and meeting up with them and trying to, workshop together. I think songwriting is a skill that can be learnt and can be sharpened. So often I think as worship leaders, we get these kind of moments of, you know, God gives us this, the Spirit gives us this like song to sing. And, you know, it's just a small seed, but what we can do with that is actually craft it into a song for our church. I think for me personally, that's where all those worship songs have started in these kind of moments of worship and moments of just kind of even just, you know, sitting quietly in my room or, you know, in those moments lingering on an altar after the service. It started there, but it's actually taken, you know, hours of work refining and crafting and, you know, looking like, you know, finding that scripture and really getting revelation on that scripture and to kind of really, hone those songs and make it something that's, going to serve our church community.
Right.
And that really is kind of like what the purpose of it is. It's to serve our people. Yeah.
Right. And you can, generally you can find one of the songs that are trending, in churches and around the kingdom, around the world, that also takes us into a place where God is wanting his church to be. And I think constantly we will find there are new songs coming. I mean, the psalm says, sing a new song to the Lord. And I think we've got to have both in our churches. And if there are really good, great songs that are lifting congregations everywhere around the world.
Yeah,
singing those and learning those assists the homegrown worship situation so that people, you know, are primed, I guess, by really great songs to write their own as well. So, Didi, in your church, are you like producing albums or writing songs for albums?
Yes, we do. Our approach is more like releasing singles at the moment. We released our first EP on 2018. We released an EP of 6 songs, and then ever since we keep releasing like one single every time we finish a song. And now we are still working on the songs that we have newly written. There are already 4 songs, and 2 of them already in the production line. Hopefully by 2024, we already have them released. Yes.
I think it's a great thing to have a project like that because it gives you a deadline. It gives everybody a reason to write songs and to collaborate and to come together. And so any project is a really good anvil to sharpen our skills on. And Liz, in your world, are you writing songs for albums?
Yes, yep. We've released some singles in the last couple of years as well. And Ride comes from a pretty rich heritage of singing their own homegrown music, which is just beautiful. And just recently this year, I just really felt the Lord calling us to like redig those wells that have already like been dug before us. Mm. Now it's our turn to like go there and do that for this generation and for those to come. So we definitely have plans to, and we definitely have songs in the pipeline. It's just a matter of like the nitty gritty, the shaping of the song and just, you know, the work that it takes to like sharpen those skills and make those songs something that people will love and people will connect with God with. So that's definitely something we aim to do in the next couple of years as well.
Perfect. Jess, tell us about your plans in the future in terms of, from my point of view, the best fruit of worship leaders is more worship leaders. Mm. And in terms of training and getting other people rising up to be worship leaders, to be in the band, to be writing songs, etc., Do you have a strategy there, a plan for that?
I wouldn't say I would have like a structured plan, but I guess what I'm always doing is looking for the people who are kind of teachable and want, are hungry for. I had someone on the weekend just ask me like I'd love some feedback, which for me is like that aha, okay, great. So I guess I'm always kind of looking for those people. We kind of do meet, I'd say, a couple of times a year as just worship leaders to kind of just download and do some kind of more intensive teaching. But even just every week, I'm just kind of touching base with the worship leaders and going like, hey, what did you think of that set? What did you feel when you were worship leading and kind of like teaching us each week, you know, like kind of asking them questions is what usually I do. How did you feel that went? Did you feel like the congregation were with you? Did you feel like you broke through there? That's kind of my strategy, is just kind of, asking questions and walking alongside them each week. Yeah.
Yeah, that's called making disciples. That whole strategy.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, it is. Well, guys, the reason I wanted to talk with you was because in May – we have a global conference for C3, which we haven't had for 10 years.
Wow.
And we've called it The Outpouring because I believe that we will see a massive outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think that worship is going to be a primary part of it. I see a whole new day of worship coming to C3. And I think it's not too far under the surface. Believe it or not, people, I wrote about 30 songs myself on our albums in the early days. Fear Not, For I Am With You, and Binding the Strong Man, and a few of these. So, I should really write some more one day.
Do it.
but I think, you know, it doesn't. I think right now, song leaders and worship leaders are scratching that surface of C3, and it won't take much to emerge all sorts of magnificent, singable, high-level worship songs. And I think we're already seeing that happen in many of our congregations. It's amazing to me how many are writing their songs, recording their songs, and the worship is absolutely incredible. Mm. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing you there with your teams and believing that it's going to be such a good time for everybody who comes, especially in those worship moments. Mm. Yeah, so tell us what you'd like to see in May. We've got about 3 minutes left. Didi, give us a 1 minute thought about what you'd like to see in our May conference.
Yeah, I would love to see impartation from the C3 movement, global C3 movement. I think as you've mentioned, so it's been a while that we haven't come together as a movement, as a global movement. I think it's going to be great. I remember last time I went to a conference like that, I felt like it's a miniature of heaven, you know, because from every nation and language come together.
Right.
And it was such a humbling experience because you see multitudes of people and thousands of people worshiping Jesus together, and suddenly you were in this huge family. Like, I feel like I'm already in heaven. So I think I'm looking forward for that kind of impartation and experience to be recharged again by the Spirit of God.
Tell us, Liz.
I would love to see like just that move of the Holy Spirit and the move of the prophetic as well. That's something that gets me so excited. Even prophetic worship, like when it enters that zone, and when you kind of break new ground in that, in worship, that's something that really excites me. So I would love to see that happening.
I have no doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Remember that prophet in the Old Testament, he said, because they said to him, have you got the word of the Lord? He said, just hang on a minute, give me a musician.
Yeah.
And so the musician came, and as he played, the Spirit came on him and he started prophesying.
So
he gave him a strategy for victory. So Jess, give us a final word here.
Yeah, I mean, we just came off the back of just in end of October, our C3 Europe conference. And I feel like already there's that just sense of joy in coming together, like a real like sweetness of spirit of seeing, like Didi, you were saying, just like all these languages and people from different cultures coming together. And how much power there is when we together from wherever we've come from come together and lift up the name of Jesus. And just I'm already just so excited just off the back of this Europe conference, like the joy that was in that room, I know it's just going to be like 10 times when we come together in May.
It's awesome.
But yeah, I think there's just a shift to praising and worshiping, and it not being about us, and being actually about who God is.
That's great.
That's right.
Coming back to that, like, real center of, it's about who God is, and His lordship. So yeah, that's what I'm excited for.
Come on.
Absolutely.
So good.
Well, Lord, we ask you to bless all these great worship leaders in C3 all around the world.
Yes, Lord.
We proclaim great anointings, new levels.
Amen.
And breakthroughs for every single one of our worship teams in all of our churches. Amen.
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 Yeah, amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.